Good morning, Bridgeway. I'm so excited to be with you all again. I continue to be so thankful to our pastor, Dr. David Anderson, and want to give him a shout out. I know he's watching online, for trusting me to share in the word with you all today. I must admit, I'm a bit anxious to share the word, but anxious in a good way. This word has been getting developed in my heart over the last couple months, and I feel like the Holy Spirit has been preaching the word to me as I live through some things in my life, and now I get to share the lessons that I'm learning and continuing to learn with you all. With that said, I'd love to bow for a quick word of prayer before we get started, and then we can get this plane lifted off the ground. So if you can join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for just being present with us right now. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would have your way. We pray the only will that will be done is the will of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for encouraging our hearts, and Lord God, giving us the strength to persevere. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, church, I'd like to start by posing a question. And here's my question. How many of you, either here in Columbia or online, are waiting on a promise from the Lord to be fulfilled in your life? Just show your hands, just by a show of hands. How many people are just waiting on the Lord to come through for you? If you're online, drop a hand raise emoji in the chat. Well, it's one thing to wait peacefully, right, for a promise. That feels like inheritance, right? You know it's coming. Like if you're blessed to have a trust fund, not many people are. But if you are blessed to have a trust fund, you just live life knowing that one day that money is going to drop in your account, right? I told my dad I'd love if I could get a trust fund, but I don't think one's coming. But it's another thing when the promise that you're waiting for takes you through trial, takes you through pain. That in fact, as you're walking towards that promise, you're walking through pain, you're walking through trouble, you're walking through sorrow. That's a hard wait. How many of you have had a hard wait before? How many of you have a hard wait right now? You know, I'm talking about the parents that are praying for a loved one, for a child to give their lives to Christ. And they're standing on the promise and the word, train your children in the way they should go, and they shall not depart. But it feels like that their child is getting farther away from the Lord and not closer. I'm talking about the single man or woman who are believing for God to send them the spouse that is right for them. And they're asking and they're seeking and they're knocking, but they haven't received yet. And that wait is painful. The loneliness sets in. That's painful. In fact, as I was preparing for my word today, I really started thinking about all of us who are persevering through those painful moments, persevering through those hard moments. And in fact, I came to start to understand that often the greatest promises on our life require the greatest perseverance. So we're operating from the same place. I'd love to give you the definition of perseverance. So the definition is persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. That you're being persistent, that nothing can stop you, you're continuing to go, but success seems to be moving further away, but that doesn't stop you from moving forward, amen? So the title of my message today is Persevering to Your Promise. Persevering to your promise. And I want you to encourage your neighbor right now with this statement, because I really believe it's true, that perseverance is required for your promise. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, perseverance is required for your promise. Type that in the chat. Now I want you to look at your other neighbor and say, keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. You gotta keep going. Amen? Amen? So as I studied the scriptures, there's many characters that show us the value of perseverance. King David, he got anointed to be king, but he had to wait 15 years before becoming king, and 22 years in total before his total promise was complete. And that wait was hard. At one point, King David was a fugitive from the kingdom that he would eventually rule over. That's a hard wait. Many of the Psalms that we quote today were written in his perseverance season. So as I studied what the scriptures had to say about perseverance, there's a number of them that speak directly to perseverance, but one caught my eye. And I want you all to turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. That's Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version. I'll give you all a second. Say amen if you're there. All right, I got enough amens. All right, so we're going to start from verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Now, hold on. Paul caught my attention right there. Who glories in their sufferings? I don't. I'm sad when I'm suffering. So right here, Paul's trying to teach us a different perspective about suffering. He's saying we should glory in our sufferings. Now, let's go deeper. Why is Paul saying that we should glory in our sufferings? But because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Now, wait a minute. So now Paul is saying that suffering is not just sent to inflict pain and heartache on us. Paul continues to give us a different perspective, that there's purpose in suffering, and that it's seeking to get something out of us. And that thing is perseverance. Now, what is perseverance doing for us? And Paul tells us, perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Amen. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So what Paul is saying is when that perseverance is pulled out of us, that it's producing character in us, that we start not only reading the word of God, but believing the word of God, that we could do all things in Christ who strengthens us, that nothing is impossible with God. Amen? And those things get deep down in our hearts. And once those things get deep down in our hearts, we can't lose hope. It's impossible to lose hope. Because we're standing in the word of our Heavenly Father. You know, as I was reading this scripture, it started to take me back to a personal testimony in my own life. So I've spoke from this stage a number of times, and I know I've said this, that I'm a president of an information services and consulting company that's based in D.C. It's about 150 employees. And in my job, there was a season about 5 years ago where it was a holiday break. It was in between Christmas and New Year's. I was taking time off. It had been a successful year, but a hard year. So I needed a break. And then on about December 28th or so, I got a call from my head of sales, my chief revenue officer. And he started the call like this. I know that me calling, you must know that this is bad. So I said, oh, great. Merry Christmas to me. So he then went on to tell me that we had lost our biggest contract in the business. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it was unexpected. Now, what was of note here is that we had already done our budgets. They were already approved by our chairman. And we were expecting that contract to be in. So it took me a minute to kind of catch my breath. Because this was unexpected, and this was going to be hard to figure out. So after a couple minutes of just sitting by myself, I went downstairs. My parents were visiting. My wife was downstairs. Our son was downstairs. And they immediately knew something was wrong, and I told them what had happened. In church, there's two things that I remember about that moment. The first is my wife looked me right in my eyes, and she said, "I know this is hard, but you'll figure it out with the Lord." Now this is an aside, but I'm speaking as a husband now. I don't know about the other husbands, but when your wife encourages you like that, you just feel like a superhero, right? When she spoke into my life like that at that moment, that's exactly what I needed. And I was thankful for her. And then after a couple hours, my father, who's been a father, a mentor, a best friend to me my entire life, he came to me and said, "Kevin, I didn't want to tell you this in a moment, but I want you to seek the Lord on what he's trying to do through this situation." So I said, "Okay, Dad." So the next morning, I went for a run, and I speak to the Lord while I run. And the Lord was faithful, and he spoke to me, and he said, "Kevin, this is a moment where I want you to stand on my word." And I said, "Well, Lord, give me a word to stand on, right?" And he said, "It'll all work for the good of those who are called according to my purpose." So I began standing on that word, but I still had to deal with the situation. So we started to persevere. We started to figure out, well, how are we going to get some of this revenue back? We had to make some hard choices about cost, and we did, and that was hard. And then 6 months later, church, we got a call from the contact on that contract. And what he said when he came on the phone is, "Can you send me pricing for that contract again? Because some of the key principles here, they just figured out that we didn't have the contract, and they told us we needed to get it back immediately." And we sent them pricing. And this is where God's word comes to life. Not only did they sign the contract again, but they signed it for multiple years. Glory to God. And not only did we get the contract back, it now was a situation where it was more profitable to our business than it was if it would have never gone away. It all worked out for my good. Hallelujah. So you see how that scripture plays out, that suffering came, unexpected suffering came. I responded with perseverance, and that perseverance produced character. I began to believe in the word of God and believed in it in a way that never left me thereafter. And then hope came, and hope will never leave me because I saw the Lord come through. Amen? Amen? So I believe that God is trying to get three things out of us through our perseverance. Three things out of us through our perseverance. And the first is he wants to develop our character. It says this in the verse, right? Perseverance, hope. But when you go deeper on those two words and you look up the original text, there's two Greek words. There's hapomene. That was a word that was translated into perseverance. Hapomene means to stand under. And then there is dokime. Dokime was the word that was translated into character. And that meant tried, approved. So when you put those two things together, what Paul was trying to teach us is when we stand still under trial, persecution, trouble, that our character becomes approved by God. I don't know about you all, but I want God to approve of my character. Amen? We just spoke about King David. And King David, his character was approved by God, that God said he was a man after his own heart. Amen? But he was able to say that because King David and God had been through some things together. God knew who King David was when he was going to be put in the fire, that King David still would glorify his name. He still would rely on the word of God. He would persevere through that trial, through that trouble, until he got to his promise. Amen? So I believe there's a second thing that God is trying to do. He is trying to strengthen our obedience to his word. Amen? We see this in the Word of God. And the Word of God says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. It says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Perseverance is required for your promise. Amen? Well, what does this mean? This means that when your neighbor is persecuting you, when they're lying on you, how are you going to respond? Are you going to respond in the flesh and try to get back at them? Or will you do what God's word says, which says turn the other cheek, that you would heap burning coals on their head? That's what the word says. And when we're faithful to do the will of God in our time of trial and test, that our promise is on the other side. Amen? And then there's a third thing that God is trying to do in us. He wants to bring his glory through our hope. Amen? That our main text says this, that Paul is saying that the Lord will not let our hope be put to shame. That, in other words, God won't leave you hanging. He won't leave what you're hoping for unanswered. That faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. And the Lord will come through for us. And we see this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And let this encourage your heart if you're going through that season of trial. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while. Can you look at your neighbor and say, is this going to be a little while? Is this going to be a little while? I want you to type that in the chat. Just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. Amen. But here's what happens after that little while. He himself, not your mother, not your father, not your boss, but God himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Amen. So I want to encourage some people that are going through your hard moment right now. I want you to remember one thing, because it's so easy to forget this when you're in the hard moment. You are a child of God. You are the child of the Most High God. Amen? So what does the word say about this? Because this is so important that we keep this deep down in our hearts. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And here's the key part. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So I believe I have a word for someone. Suffering is your right now, but glory is your future. Amen? I want to say that one more time. Suffering is your right now, but glory is your future. So I just wonder if there's someone who has a right now praise for a future glory that's going to come. Is there someone that will give God right now a right now praise for the glory that's going to come through your life? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. Amen? All right, let's keep going. There's more to learn about this. There's more to learn about this. So I believe there are three practical ways that we can persevere in our time of trouble until we get to our promise. And I don't know about you all, but for me, I learn best when I have an example. Anybody like that? I just need a real example. The Bible is full of them. But I love God so much because he always takes you to the unexpected place. You know, you think Joseph, you think David, you think Esther. But you know who God took me to? Caleb. People don't talk about Caleb that often. Let me give you a little background on Caleb. So Caleb was one of the 12 spies that was sent to the promised land when the Israelites were taken out of Egypt to spy out the land. But he's of note because he's one of only two that came back and gave a good report. It was Joshua and Caleb, and they were connected together forever. But Caleb came back and said, there's definitely some formidable forces that are in the promised land. But I know we can take it with the Lord. That his faith was notable. And in response to that faith, God made him a promise. God said, because of your faith, because you believed in me, I will give you the land that your feet stood on. But here's where the story gets interesting. Caleb's cousins, the other 10 that were sent, they brought a bad report and they let fear overtake them. And the consequence for that is they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Caleb had to go with them. That wasn't his sin, but yet he still had to live the consequence. So for 40 years, he wandered in that wilderness and he dealt with death and heartache and famine and disease and hopelessness. But he walked through it. He persevered. And then it was finally time to go into the promised land. And you know what he got rewarded with? 5 years of fighting. Because they had to take their promise by force. So Caleb was a leader in the fight. But then came the moment, some 45 years later, where Caleb was going to receive his promise. And you see this in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. And I'm not going to read it because of time. I highly recommend you go read this passage of scripture. I promise you it'll encourage your life. But let me summarize it. Caleb gets to this moment, and the first thing Caleb says is, I remember the promise that God gave to me. And then he tells Joshua, I want my promise. You better give me that promise. That's my promise. And then he tells Joshua, I know that I'm 85 right now, but I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. And then Joshua says, well, you know you're going to have to fight for this. You just got done fighting for 5 years. You have one more fight. And he said, I don't care. I know with the Lord, I'm going to win. And Caleb took that land. And it was called Hebron. And he inhabited that land for the tribe of Judah. That land eventually became the land that King David was anointed to be king. So there was a multiple generation promise. You want to know what else that land, why else that land was significant? It's where Abraham was buried, dying, believing that that land would eventually be his people's land. So Caleb's perseverance was answered prayer for a generation before and a generation after. Amen? So what's significant about this story is there's really three practical applications that we can see in this story. So I want to start with the first one. So the first one is you have to make the Word of God your firm foundation. It has to be your firm foundation. So let's see what Caleb said in Joshua 14:7. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. That Jesus says in Matthew 7 that we have two choices in life, that we can choose to put our trust in the Word of God, and that's like putting our feet on a firm foundation. Or we can choose to put our trust anywhere else. And I mean anywhere else. It could even be a good thing, but anywhere else. That's like putting our feet in sinking sand. And Jesus makes us another promise that the rain, the wind, and the floods will come. It comes to everyone. What does the word say? It rains on the just and the unjust. But if you have your feet on that firm foundation, you will not sink. You will not go down. This reminds me of a testimony, a powerful testimony of my grandmother. And she gave me permission to share it this morning. And as she was even telling the testimony over again, she was getting happy. I don't know if some of you, my grandmother is an old saint. She gets happy. She was getting happy. And the story was about a tough time in her life where she was suffering through a deep bout of depression. And she couldn't get out of it. And she was going to all types of places to try to just escape this sorrow that she had. She went to mental health professionals, and I just want to note how serious it is when you're going through mental health bouts to see a professional and allow them to walk through it with you. But the mental health professionals, they just couldn't help her. So she started escalating, and she started going to spiritualists and psychics, and she was following all these things they were giving to her because they were telling her she was cursed. And she was following all of these directions. She was going places that weren't the word of God. But then one day, she went to her door. And she opened up the door. She was crying in deep sorrow, just saying, how am I going to get out of this feeling sad? And when she opened up the door, she looked up and she said it was the brightest sky she ever saw. And then she heard a voice. She said it was like a singing voice. And I believe this is going to encourage somebody here today or online. The voice said, salvation is free. Someone needs to hear that right now. Salvation is free. And she chose to put her trust in the Lord right at that moment. And she closed the door and she went back in the house. And she said, those tears of sorrow she was crying turned into tears of joy. Glory to God. And from that day on, she never suffered with a bout of depression again. That the Lord completely broke her season of sorrow. We have to put our feet on our firm foundation. Amen? Number two, we need to lean on the strength of the Lord. We can't go through those hard trials by ourselves, church. It won't work, but the Lord will strengthen us. What did Caleb say? Caleb said in Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 through 11, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. Since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness, so here I am today, 85 years old, and I love this. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. I believe Caleb was talking about his spirit, right? We know physically Caleb was older, but Caleb was saying, my spirit is just as strong as it was back then. And if my spirit is strong and the Lord is with me and I'm leaning on the Lord, I know I can do anything. Amen? What does the Bible say that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? What does the Bible say? They that hope in the Lord will renew their? Amen. So we need to lean on the Lord for our strength. My third and final practical application, we need to be willing to fight for our promises. We just can't lose the will to fight ever. What did Caleb say? In Joshua 14, 12, now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Well, church, this reminded me of a very personal testimony for my wife and I. It was a season of trial in sorrow that we walked through together, that we were believing in the Lord for a promise for a child. And I won't go into all the details, but what I will say is we went through deep sorrow in that season, loss in that season. But there was a moment in that season where we were expecting. And my wife went to give some blood, and she got a call from the nurse. And the nurse called her and said, you know, there were some things off about your blood work. And, you know, it might not be looking good. We don't know if this pregnancy is going to be viable. And that's okay. If it isn't, we can just try again. We'll try again. You and your husband will try again. So my wife calls me because we weren't together at that moment. And she gives me this news. And as often, I was alone, and I began to seeking the Lord. To be honest, I kind of fell into hopelessness. But in that moment, the Lord came and told me three things. The first thing he said, as clear as day, Kevin, the enemy doesn't want your seed to be here on this earth. The second thing he told me, and again, I believe this is a word for someone here today. I never have forgotten this word. It was as clear as day. I'm the God of life, not death. He's the author of life, not death. And he spoke that directly to my heart. And then the last thing he said is, Kevin, fight for your seed. Fight for your seed. So I went home and I told my wife, the Lord said we need to fight to bring our seed here, that he is the God of life and not death. And we said, let's fight. And we started setting up weekly fasting and prayer time. And then we called close family members and we said, would you join us in praying and fasting for our child? And about a month later, we're on our way to the 12-week sonogram, which is the big sonogram. And we hadn't seen anything since then. And that's what the doctor said, let's just wait until the sonogram. So we go in and we go into that sonogram room and they put the little wand on my wife's belly and we hear the sound, boom, 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 boom. We hear life. He's the God of life, not death. We began praising the Lord right in that doctor's office. Hallelujah. Never lose your will to fight. He will fight with you, church. He will fight with you. So as we close, I know the wind is blowing hard on some of you. I know you're in a flood right now. But I want to remind you of what the Word of God says in Romans 8, that our present suffering is not worth comparing to the future glory that will be revealed in us. Amen? So I like to think of promise in our life like getting on a flight, right? The Holy Spirit is our pilot, and he's guiding us through the skies. Jesus is air traffic control, and he's looking at that radar, and he could see trouble ahead, and sometimes he'll say, let's go around the trouble, but sometimes he says they got to go through it. They just have to go through it. And then he prays with the Holy Spirit to give us strength to get through it. And then God is like the head of the Federal Aviation Administration. He's responsible for all the flight plans and making sure that the flight plans are marked out to what destinations we need to get to. Amen? But sometimes when we have to go through that turbulence, it starts to shake, right, church? And what does the pilot say? Put your seatbelt on. Get ready to stand under this. I'm here. I'm going to help you. I'm not going to leave you. And then sometimes the oxygen masks even fall down. And it's hard. And you don't know if you're going to make it. But if you don't jump off the flight, that you get through that turbulence, and on the other side, you eventually hear these words. You've been cleared for landing. And I just want to say that I believe I came here today to tell someone that you've been cleared for landing. You've been cleared for landing. I just want to go back to the story of Caleb just really quickly. That at the end of that story, it says in verses 14 and 15, after Caleb went to battle and he took Hebron, it says that the land, the entire land, had rest from war. So I just want to tell you that you might be one battle away from rest. If you're a parent praying for your child, you might be one prayer away from them giving their lives to Christ. If you're believing for a promotion on your job, you might be one fast away from your promotion. You're one step away from your breakthrough. Don't give up now. Keep going. persevere to your promise. And there's one thing I know, the greater the trial, the greater the promise. And God is using that perseverance to get you ready to receive your promise. And when you receive it, when you've been cleared for landing, you hit that ground, that with gratitude, you will say, God, it was all worth it. You're worthy of it all. I praise you. And you will have the character to keep your promise. So church, if there is someone that is going through that test now, I want you to stand so I can pray that the Lord will get you through to your promise. Church, before my wife and I went to the hospital to get the sonogram, we put on worship in the car. And we started worshiping God before we saw the breakthrough. We started declaring his goodness before we saw the breakthrough. So I want all of you standing to lift your hands and to start lifting worship to the Lord. If you're online, I want you to make an altar right there, right where you're sitting, and I want you to raise your hands and say, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I worship you. Oh Lord, it's hard right now. I need your help, God. I need you. I need your help, God. Oh, in church, as I was preparing for this, you know, I'm not a singer, but I know how to worship God. And there was a song that was in my heart. And I want to sing it right now. If you know it, join me. You made a way when our backs were against the wall. When if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Father, we come before you right now. We worship you, Lord. Job said, yet though you slay me, I will still trust you. Oh, I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. So Lord, we come before you and we say, help. Give us your strength. Rise us on wings like eagles. Lord, we need you. We need your touch. Just give us the perseverance to get through. And Father, when you get us through, we'll give you all the glory. We won't lose our hope, Father. And as we don't lose our hope, that your glory would flow through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. In church, I want to close with this. You move mountains. You cause walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you know. One more time. You move mountains. Blessings, Bridgerette.
Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And with sadness.